I'm Kevin Pettit.
And I'm Martin Frazier.
And we are Loud Americans Discussing Soccer, better known as LADS. All right. Today is Wednesday, October 9th, 2019. And Martin, I'm not feeling well whatsoever.
Y'all could have guessed. Kevin sounds sickly. The man sounds like he's in a bird flu tent in quarantine. So prayers up to Kevin. Keep him in your thoughts.
Yeah, I got a fucking head cold, dude. And it's literally the worst because I got the sniffles last night when I was going to see The Joker, which, by the way, 10 out of 10, best movie I've seen all year. Extraordinary movie. And I was like, all right, I got the sniffles. And I hate when I get the sniffles because I sound like a little bitch, like I'm a kid. And I hate that so much. And then today at work, my eyes started getting puffy, and I'm like, oh, fuck me. Am I really getting... I just thought it was like it was just a change in temperature. So if I sound like shit, or I've been hanging out with a long weekend with Diego Maradona, this is why. So, Martin, we have a lot of soccer to talk about. We have Liverpool going 8 games undefeated to begin this season, 17 straight wins for Liverpool in the Premier League starting from last year. We got Manchester United, absolute dumpster fire. Tottenham Hotspur, absolute dumpster fire over the weekend. You also have Man City dropping, losing to Wolves, which I'm so mad, which we'll get to, but I did not place that bet, even though we told everyone last week to place that bet, but we'll get to that. And then, yeah, Chelsea's youth keeps scoring. So, again, cool. They're the underdogs, Martin, remember. But before we get into any of that, what are you drinking, bud? How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm drinking the usual King of Beers brewed by our original process from the choicest hops, rice, and best barley malt. So if you guys are looking to get into a new beer you haven't heard of before, I suggest Budweiser. It'll make you feel good, and I feel good, and I'm drinking some Bud with my bud. Well, through a telephone with my bud, so sads. But I'm living the quite realistic sports depression. You know how me and Kev were telling everybody how October might be the best month of sports, and I still stand by that for people who aren't fans of particular teams. Manchester United. October seems to have started off with a really poor start for every single team that I truly love, whether it's Ferrari, Manchester United, and the Eagles too, but you know, they won this past weekend.
They bounced back pretty well. The Eagles, with the Green Bay and then just destroying the Jets. I think I made out with, their quarterback and got mono. I think that's what happened. What's his name?
Good job, Kevin. Fucking yeah! I always think it's Sam Darnold, but it's the other one.
It is Sam Darnold. Nice one.
Is it?
Yeah. So I think
what's
I think
the one across... on Florida? I can never remember his name.
Florida?
Not
Josh Rosen?
Tannehill. Yeah.
Yeah, that guy. So
shit. I love that they all kind of suck. All those top three quarterbacks who came into the league at the same time, and they're not that stupid good. So it makes me happy in my depression.
Not great. Anyway, yeah, Martin, it's been a pretty shit beginning for Manchester United and a lot of your sports teams, so I'm very, very sorry. And I'm not drinking anything because I'm literally death right now. So before we get into any of the action, specifically Manchester United, I do have a couple headlines for you, Martin.
Fucking New York Times, they call Kevin Pettit. Spill the beans.
I'm Big J journalist right fucking here. The first headline is legendary German footballer Bastian Schweinsteiger has retired officially from the beautiful game. Martin, I just want to go first and say that the 2014 World Cup was a big moment for me in terms as a soccer fan, where I feel as though like I'd always been like casually a pretty decent soccer fan before that, but I really think I was rooting for Germany. I bought like a Germany like jersey and stuff like that. I was full in, and I think Bastian Schweinsteiger, especially with the year before with Bayern winning the treble, I was like Bastian Schweinsteiger really made me fall in love deeper with soccer. and I've just always loved him. I know you have a soft spot for him for his short tenure at Manchester United, which I remember when he signed there, you were like, oh my God, yes, this is exactly what we need, and didn't exactly work out. But what a legendary career. I believe he has 8 Bundesliga titles, a World Cup, a treble, all sorts of accolades. I mean, the guy's won everything you could possibly win, had an amazing career, and ended it right here in the United States with the Chicago Fire. He also had kids here, so hopefully his kids play for the U.S., which would be sick. But yeah, Martin, I don't know how you want to reflect on it. I just really look back at that 2014 World Cup run. That really sticks out to me.
I mean, I've been calling Bastian Schweinsteiger a pig killer since I first saw him grace the stage back whenever I first saw that terrifying man. And like I told Kevin, like when we first started watching soccer together for real and watched as much as we could possibly shove into our eyeballs, that Schweinsteiger met pig killer, and so we called him pig killer for a couple more years. So it really does sadden me that pig killer is gone. And you know, Kevin said it best, the man's won everything under the sun. He's a German god. He was the epitome of, you know, early 2010s Germany, and he definitely deserves to be recognized. But I gotta say, Kev, this news, I don't know about you, I don't know about all the fans, this kind of took me as a surprise. I gotta be honest, I kind of forgot he was playing just a little bit. I forgot he was on the Fire and still playing. So once again, this MLS Retirement League is really fucking working out for these older legends. I kind of dig it.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool because I feel as though generations of young soccer fans will be able to see these guys in person, which is amazing, and be able to be like, oh, why did they keep talking about that guy? What did he do? Like, you know, how when Henri came here, or Stevie G, or Lampard, you know, it's just kind of cool. I really love that, you know. I mean, Zlatan is the best example because that guy still could probably play for a top team in Europe. I mean, maybe not at what he used to be, but I feel like he could still make it into like maybe AC Milan.
To my side,
maybe AC Milan since you know they sacked their coach again today. God,
they did. They won this weekend. What are they doing?
I know. I have what's it called? My buddy Rui and the guys from the Red Card Report. They're just very, very upset about this AC Milan the past, you know, probably decade. But that's a whole different thing. But yeah, now I just want to say about Bastian, though. I think for me, in terms of like my generational, like LeBron James is probably my best basketball player I watch in my generation. Lionel Messi and Ronaldo will be the best players I watch in my generation. I think my favorite German soccer player for my generation will be Bastian Schweinsteiger. I don't know who it will be for you, but I'm like 100% certain. I mean, you could take your pick. Like, some people will probably say Manuel Neuer or Philipp Lahm or Thomas Müller, whomever. Pick your Gertz, Royce, doesn't matter. But I think personally for me, I think Bastian Schweinsteiger for the past decade would be my favorite German footballer.
Yeah, I, the Germans always have had iconic players in their squad, whether it's Oli Kahn back in the 90s, Bad Stuber, you go up to Michael Ballack. You've always had just these legends running this
Klinsmann
team. No. But I think if I had to list a favorite German player, just because I always love to play a fun little trivia game, my favorite German player has got to be Miroslav Klose. Like, the man has just scored in every single World Cup that he's played in, has the most World Cup goals in history, and he's done it up until the age of, I think he was 38 last time. So I just love that German. It's the hallmark of a German hard work success story, and that's just badass me. Plus, Kahn gives me nightmares, so that's pretty cool too.
Pretty fucking sick. All right, well, that's enough. Thank you, Bastian, for the memories. You are undoubtedly an absolute legend, and the game is going to miss you. So I got one more thing before we talk about the past weekend's games, Martin. I don't know if you saw this when I posted this on our social media, but did you see the picture from 1986 of a shirt Maradona was wearing that said Maradona was wearing a shirt that said no drugs, and on Platini's shirt it said no to corruption, which, you know, that has aged like fine wine. That aged so well.
It's like a, do the math real quick. It's like a 38-year fine wine. Like that's worth a lot of money. So that's a very, very fine iron right there. I love it. I love that it's like the two faces of these two things. Like, obviously, the face of cocaine saying, say no to drugs. The face of corruption saying, say no
it's
to corruption.
It's like if you found, like,
you know, fast forward a couple
years. Martin. It's like if you found a picture of, like, David Duke as a kid and said, say no to racism. It's like, this is so,
right.
This is so perfect. I wish. Oh, my God. I wish, like, someone please make that, or someone Photoshop that. Just let that surface. Yeah, it's just too perfect.
Such a shame. Like, imagine if they stuck with those shirts. If they were just like, oh, shit, I'm going against what my shirt said. Guys, I'm done. Cocaine was a blast, but I'm going to focus my full energy on soccer. And Plantini was like, corrupt, corrupt, corrupt. Oh, shit. The shirt says no to corruption. Let's make FIFA the best organization we can. Like, imagine if they just listened to the shirts. They would be so much better respected.
I know. It's like, you know, that's why, like, there's still a problem in Africa. Like, you know, feed the children. No one listens to the shirts, man. If only people...
That's true.
If people, I think people should start taking the lad's advice. If you listen to the shirts, things will happen. So, like, I'm going to start putting shirts for lads that has, like, send Kevin money to this Venmo and Martin. Like, and people start listening to the shirts. All right. That's enough of that, Martin. Which do you want to start with, the competition for Banter FC, either Tottenham or Manchester United? Or do you want to get to the clash between Liverpool and Leicester, Man City? I'm just babbling, dude. I'm so fucking out of it. Please pick a game. Please pick a game.
All right. I picked to do United last week, and they lost yet again. So I'm going to pick to bite the bullet first and talk about Manchester United versus Newcastle. First and foremost, Kevin?
Yeah, what's up, dude?
Sorry, I thought you had something to say. That's bad radio on my part.
Go ahead, man.
The phone cut out.
Dude, I'm so fucking out of it. My ear's been popping from blowing my nose so much. I've been trying not to cough this whole show. Dude, you can say whatever you want, man. My eyes are like half open. It's totally fine. So yeah, please.
All right, sicky.
Talk about this beautiful ginger who scored on your ass.
All right, sicky. So first off, before the game, I knew we were going to lose. I said it on the Thursday night podcast. I've said it to everybody who listened to me, so I spoke this shit into existence. So that one's on me, Ollie. That one's on me, boys. But to get to the game itself, the lineup that they put out was just the stereotypical, really shit Manchester United lineup. No energy in the midfield. You have Fred Pereira and Scott McTominay in the midfield, and I'm sorry, but there can be no creativity from that group of three players. Get into the game in a sec. Then you look at Newcastle's lineup. Newcastle has been a club that's been struggling under the ownership of Mike Ashley for, well, pretty much since, I think, 2008, 2009 was when I first started hearing about this shit. So you have a team that has really struggled, has been relegated and came back. Up, down, up, down. Had a manager that truly believed in the club and was essentially forced out, so to speak. And now you have Steve Bruce coming in to a very disgruntled fan base and a tumultuous squad. And so there is absolutely no reason Newcastle should even be hinting at being in the game. Look at this Newcastle squad. I mean, it's shite. They sold their best players, Rondon, Ayoze, Perez. They got Miguel Almiron, who has not scored since he came over. Luckily, they got a new forward, Joe Ellington, who is kind of doing some shit. But all in all, this Newcastle team should have never had a glimpse at this game. Manchester United didn't just give him a glimpse. They gave him a full view of this game, and Newcastle rightly took the 3 points from this game. Every single motherfucking attack spent about 5 minutes in the midfield going side to side, Fred, who I've tried to defend during his shite tenure at Manchester United, did not pass a single ball forward. A single ball forward until
Preach,
the
Queen.
70th minute.
Preach.
Until the 70th minute when his pass was pretty well telegraphed and pretty well intercepted by Fabian Schär on Newcastle. So, Fred, absolutely worthless. Fuck off. Go to another team. Get out of my team. Andres
Martin.
Pereira, yeah, he tries. He tries, but he's not up to caliber. Scott McTominay, the only midfielder who has been playing for Manchester United that deserves that spot. There is no creativity in the midfield. Therefore, the balls cannot get from the midfield to the forwards, and there's a reason that the forwards, Daniel James, Rashford, Mata, had a combined 38 touches the entire second half. That's a Manchester United team. Get the fuck out of Dodge. It's an absolute joke. The team selection, as well as the just playing on the pitch, they are picking the easy passes. They're passing back and forth to each other. It's genuinely like picking a, you know, be a player on FIFA, you know that mode. And it's you're actually playing as your star, whoever. My player's name is Sadie the dog. And FIFA is controlling everybody else on the pitch. And it's genuinely like watching FIFA try and play actual soccer. It's dog shit. There is no creativity. There is no naturalness. And it's inexcusable. David De Gea says, I don't know why we're doing this after the match. He's a leading voice in the dressing room. Roy Keane would be whooping his ass if he was here to see him deliver that as a Manchester United leading man. Ashley Young, 10 crosses, did not find a single man until Harry Maguire, who just scrubbed his shot. An absolute joke of a team, an absolute joke of a club. And I'm genuinely fucking shaking. I'm so mad at this club. I knew this was going to happen. And I know that the Glazers don't give a flying fuck about the club's form as long as they're making money. Ed Woodward will continue to make nonsensical decisions until he is fired. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, to fucking his defense, he's trying, but he's not up to caliber.
Martin, let me jump in here real quick. I was looking at the sideline, and they kept cutting to Ollie, and the dude looked like he had no clue what to do. Like, he just looked shook the entire time. And I don't blame him. Like, this squad, like, just gives up when they go away, and they just don't seem like they care. And they don't even barely show up when they play at home. So, for me, like, I really can't. I kind of just hold everything against everybody at this club from the top down. Like, it's just a complete mess. And now you're sitting just 2 points off the relegation zone at 12th in the standings, 8 games in. This is not Manchester United at all. And I think that's been – it's horrible.
I saw this ESPN article. It said, is Manchester United going to get relegated this year? First off, I took my time to tell them to fuck off and that they have absolutely zero – idea about anything soccer related, and then I actually read the article. And
are you okay?
I mean, first and foremost, they're fucking idiots. I think it was written by the same guy who thought Gerard Deulofeu was the next Messi. But just the stats that were pouring out of that: no wins in 17 away games. Worst start to the season since 1970. I think it's 1986. I want to say. Which is ironic because these records just keep breaking, because last year's poor start to this season, we broke like 4 or 5 records. Now Ollie's going and breaking that record. So, you know, we're just trying to be a pretty shit club. I'm glad we're aiming our sights at mid-tier teams. And I'm just super looking forward to getting rid of all these shit players, starting with Ashley Young, starting with Fred, starting with the players who truly do not bring a lot to the squad. Andreas Pereira, I like him a lot. He tries very hard, but he cannot be in that midfield. There's no creativity coming from him.
Yeah, Martin,
Paul Pogba,
I'm tired.
I'm out of here.
Yeah, I'm just tired of these players who, like, I like when you say, like, they try hard, but if you don't have the talent, like, get the fuck out of here. Like, I don't care if you try hard. Like, if you're not producing, then, like, that's not doing anyone a service. So
right.
It's like a weird excuse. Like, you know, well, he tries really hard. Like, I could try really hard, but I'm not fucking going to go out there and be able to. Yeah, you know, like, it's just.
I think that's spot on for a lot of these players at Manchester United. I mean, you could just about name a good half of the squad and put them in that category where where they try hard, but they're at the end of the day not good enough. But there are exceptions. I always use this example. Ander Herrera, I don't think, was a classic Manchester United midfielder. I think he tried his fucking hardest and actually impacted the game in the most positive way on those squads that he was playing in. And the exception to the rule is, you know, if you have a large enough group of players that are trying their fucking hardest and on average they are good enough to compete and they outwork the other team from the first minute to the last minute, that team's going to most likely win. If a team just flat out outworks another team, their chances of win grows exponentially. And that is why I'm, you know, kind of lauding the try hard attitude. I would love to see that, even if they're not the best. I just want to fucking see everything given to that badge.
But yeah.
Like you said, there is a point where, fuck me, you guys are trying, and I'm sure you're trying in practice, but Lordy, it ain't working. It ain't working. No, Throw out the script and fucking get rid of them all, except for very few players. The youngsters, rebuild. Follow Chelsea. Apparently Chelsea can build out of youngsters better than Manchester United can. Fuck me.
Yeah,
shout out to Newcastle, by the way. Great win. Great fucking job. Sean Longstaff and Matty Longstaff, brothers on the pitch. Fucking just had tears in my eyes of joy and sadness.
Yeah, I mean, what a debut for the teenager. Like, 19 years old and a ginger. I mean, I haven't seen a ginger that good on the pitch since probably Scholesy, you know. anyway.
To be fair, that midfield outbeat our team up and down the pitch the entire time. And Matt and Sean Longstaff, like, their fucking chemistry with their new left winger, St. Maxim, who just was destroying Manchester United's back line up and down the pitch. It made Newcastle look like a top 10 team. And that's what happens so many times when United plays a lower quality team. They make them look so fucking good. And Newcastle look great. I know Steve Bruce is on the hot seat, but shoot, if they can replicate that, it seemed like there was hope. There was a lot of hope in that Newcastle stadium of St. James's Park.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I mean, he's just such an old school manager, so I thought the times have kind of passed him. But, you know, we'll just have to wait and see. But, all right, we'll move on to some other games. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick ad break right now. All right, Martin, we're back. We don't have to talk about United anymore. You tore the Band-Aid off. So let's talk about another team that kind of screwed the pooch. It was between you and Tottenham, who were Banter FC this weekend. And I'm going to still say it's United, but Brighton beating Tottenham 3-0. Yikes. Like, is the Tottenham experiment over? Are we done with them? Or is the squad leave? Is Poch going? I got to ask these questions because it just... Brighton absolutely dominated. Credit to Brighton. I think we didn't do the same credit to Newcastle. Brighton dominated. Absolutely just took out their, you know, gay seagull dongs and just dropped it on Tottenham. And I got to give them credit to be playing such aggressive football against a team that were in the Champions League final the year before. Which, again, I think is kind of hilarious that now people are always going to say, like, you know, going up against a team that was in the Champions League final last year, like, every single game, which is just, it just feels like Tottenham's just like, fuck us. what did you make of the game? I think the Hugo Lloris injury was massive, but this team still should have the quality to beat Brighton.
Yeah, I mean, first off, the game was, it was just shocking. I don't think a lot of people came into this game expecting this this outcome and such a dominating performance by the Gay Seagulls. Like you said, I mean, Tottenham registered 3 shots on goal, and I watched the highlights of this game, and I saw the first shot from Harry Kane come in the 76th minute. It was flabbergasting for a team of Tottenham's
quality. What's wrong with Harry Kane? Harry Kane's just like, does he not want to be there? Like, he just, like, he's just been a ghost, like, a no-show these past few games.
Well, I think there's so many fucking people at Tottenham that do and kind of do and don't really want to be there. Take a look at their most iconic players. You've got Poch, who was flirting with the Manchester United position last year. Still rumors about his job right now. Harry Kane, who's always been expected to leave but has never said anything about his desire to leave. Eriksen, who's been very vocal about his desire to leave. Toby Alderweireld, who does not want a contract extension and almost left this summer. You've got an aging Vertonghen. You've got a Dele Alli who doesn't play. You've got a human son who looks very much off his Korean game. And it's a team that is really struggling to perform, I think, in the competition of the most banter club in England right now, Manchester United and Tottenham. I think you got to look at Tottenham because we know what Tottenham can do. We know what they can achieve with this squad. Hell, they even got transfers this summer that were supposed to make them better. And they are somehow getting worse. Get pumped 7-2 by the German army, Bayern Munich, over the week, and then get pumped 3-0 by Brighton over the weekend. And, I mean,
and then Colchester awful. Just right before Bayern. Yeah, I mean, they're just having a horrible run of games. And Bayern, has Bayern just ruined another team? Like, is this the case of the Bayern curse? The German, is this a blitzkrieg by the Germans? What's happening?
Dude, maybe Germany wants that extra Champions League spot, so they're taking their anger out on these London clubs who are almost always in the Champions League. I don't know what's going on, but apparently there's some German curses going on. I just think this Tottenham team is in real trouble. Real trouble, and I do hope they figure it out soon because, you know, when they're on, they're fun to watch. But like you said, I mean, the Brighton players, Connolly for
yes, thank you, Martin. Instance. That's who I wanted to talk about. 19-year-old coming on and, like, scoring a superb goal, like, cutting over and, like, curling it past who was their backup? I can't even remember. My eyes hurt.
Nzinga.
Yep, I wasn't going to get that. Not in this state. I bet on Tottenham this weekend, and luckily Aston Villa bailed me out because I bet on Villa as well. But yep, I released a video. Like, I'm never betting on Tottenham or Manchester United the rest of the season. Like, just get your shit together, guys. Like, I just don't understand it. Like, I'm tired of losing money on these teams, which these should be locks, but they're not.
I've been telling you to stop betting on United for
quite some time.
Please take that advice. That's why I think this Tottenham game is shocking. Like, you know, you always say, when a team gets their ass beat, always bet on them the next game, that bounce back game. Tottenham proved that wrong pretty drastically. I can't
again
remember that when I've seen Tottenham perform in such a manner. And it was abysmal, especially against a team like Brighton. And I mean, Brighton's freaking, they're decent. They've become Prem stalwarts. I think this is the third year in the league, so good on them. New coach, they've looked great all year. I mean, for goodness sakes, I love the fact that Aaron Moy came to them. Granted, he doesn't start a bunch, but it definitely offers them an option off of a bench. And they're sitting in 14th, you know, even on points with Manchester United. So big shout out to them. Just as good as Manchester United.
Quite not exactly a compliment anymore, but no, not at all. But yeah, let's move on to a game I should have bet money on. And we told literally all the listeners to bet on Man City versus the Giant Killers, the Wolverhampton Wandering Wolves. Adama Traore with the brace, which the meme came out that now FIFA card is going to fuck everything up. The man is so jacked. He's literally the most jacked man I've ever seen in a soccer kit. But I just want to go quick, flashback to the last episode where we literally told everyone to bet on this game. It was plus 1600 odds about, and we had so many people tweet us, DM us, and be like, oh my God, thanks for the tip. Did you take the bet too? No. I did, and shout out to a Benner Life on Instagram. He put $20 on this game because of us, won like $350. Fuck,
there
Martin.
God
damn it. We told it, I should have bet the house. We said it. We would have made so much money. God, this was such a lock. And, you know, Man City with 18 shots, 76 possession, just could not do anything. And I'm just going to say it, and it's been just kind of true. He's been getting by with a kind of a pass for a couple years, because he just keeps winning titles, but Otamendi stinks. He's not good.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, and, like, we've kind of sent that, and he's kind of just gotten by because Man City just possesses it, and there's not really a time for him to actually defend. But when he has to defend, he stinks. He's not good.
Yeah, I mean, that City defense, they kind of live in that luxury where their team is just stupid good. I think John Stones is in the same boat.
Also not great.
Yeah, they're good. They're fucking nothing special. So, and same goes to Laporte. And it's just you know, a byproduct of being so damn good.
I like Laporte more. I will admit, I think Laporte's better than those two, but those guys.
I do too. Agreed. Agreed.
Yeah, I think those, you know, Otamendi and John Stones just a bit overrated.
Yeah. And they were shown it. I mean, Raul Jimenez had three clear-cut opportunities. He had two one-on-one.
Now, he's underrated. He's underrated.
I love Raul. He can't score a goal right now, but I love Raul. He got both of the assists to Adama Traore. The second assist, I mean, gosh damn it, it was a out-footed curler into Traore's pace, who is going to beat 9.9 out of 10 people in a sprint, and he just burned them. And he beat Ederson with the exact same shot that he beat him on the first shot. And, you know, this was one of those games where it's like, uh-oh, City isn't scoring. Uh-oh, City's going to score. But in the back of your head, you're like, they're probably going to score. The only difference is this is the Wolves. And by the 70th minute, I was pretty certain that me and you were spot on. The Giant Killers are back in town. Watch out, Manchester. They already drew Manchester United, and they're up in the stakes to the better Manchester. Manchester City. Winning 2-0. Fucking huge shout-out. And I'm going to say again, City's still going to win the league, probably.
Well, I mean, we're going to get to Liverpool, because a lot of people are saying they've already won the league 8 games in. I'm not saying it. Some people are.
You want to talk some Liverpool?
You want to
something else to say about City?
The one thing I have to say is we're going to take a quick ad break right now. Ooh, did you like surprising. That? You didn't see that coming. Wow. And then we're going to talk some Liverpool, but we'll be back right after this. All right, we're back. What a transition. Martin, yes, let's get to Liverpool. What an amazing weekend for Liverpool. First off, 8 points clear, the top of the table, 17 straight wins in the Premier League. Everton are in the relegation zone. Again, we have a couple close friends who are Everton fans who listen to the show, and they're just getting tired of us talking shit. But you guys are garbage. You are hot, steaming pile of poopy garbage. You're not good. Everton loses. Hometown rival, Manchester City and Manchester United both lose. Couldn't think of a more perfect weekend to be a Liverpool fan, Martin.
Yeah. I mean, everything seemed to go their way, including the penalty at the end. It was like a perfect storm for the Liverpoolians. And, like, I got to say, this game, it was balls to the wall. There's something about Leicester against a top six club that makes both teams open up and just attack, 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 attack. And at that point, it just doesn't matter what team you support. You're just fucking too into the game. And this game was no different. I mean, yeah, it ended up being 2-1, but the opportunities and the playmaking that was taking place on Saturday between them, it was incredible. It was incredible. So fun to watch. So fun to root for, you know, either of those teams, because they're just fun teams. They've got fantastic players up and down the pitch. And, I mean,
James Maddison, fantastic. God, I want to see him in a top six jersey so fucking bad.
He's coming to United for sure, and we're going to ruin him.
In the championship, yes. When you guys head to the championship, absolutely. Yes. go on.
Yeah. If we get relegated, I'll eat a fucking car if we get relegated.
Don't say that, Martin. I mean,
chance in fucking hell that Manchester United gets relegated. I will actually put all of my life savings and my future years on
and
this
give them to me, which is like $20. So give me the $20 you have.
$20 and maybe 2 years. So
yes.
There you go, Kevin.
Martin, but it happened to Leeds. They say it can happen.
It happened to Leeds, but Leeds wasn't a multi-billion-dollar club. Hell, even if we get relegated, we'll pull some Trump shit and be like, nope, fake news, not relegated. We're still playing in the Prem. There's no chance Manchester United gets relegated.
I'm pretty sure the Glazer family would just commit like a mass Jonestown like sacrifice or something if that happened. I don't know what would, it would not be pretty. Anyway, Sadio Mane again brilliant. James Maddison again brilliant, also on the score sheet. Let's talk about that late penalty. I'm okay with it. I know you're probably going to be against it. I think it was a pretty soft penalty, but there was contact. And I think it could have gone either way. I'm not mad at either. It sounds like I'm being kind of a pussy and playing it kind of safe. But, hey, I'm being kind of a pussy. But, Martin, what do you think?
I mean, I think it's technically a foul, but it's not a penalty. There are varying degrees of fouls in the box, and everybody.
It's a foul, but not a penalty, guy. You're like my favorite type of person, Martin.
I'm fucking truthful. That's what I am. But I mean, you have that exact foul take place in the West Ham game. You have that exact foul take place in the Manchester City Wolves game, and VAR reviewed all three of those incidences, and only awarded a penalty to one team. And you can't. For one, you can't say it's a foul here, but it's not a foul in this game. It's not a foul in this game. So I don't think there's any type of consistency in those soft-ass fouls. And I think that's what it was. It was a soft, soft foul. And yes. Mane sold it. And, you know, it's just another game where fucking this Liverpool team is being looked down on kindly by the football gods. Another late winner. Another little bit of a lucky strike to win this game, and
it just pisses you off so much. James, it makes me so happy that Liverpool just keeps somehow winning.
I swear you're a Liverpool fan. That's my only fucking idea. I swear you're like a secret Liverpoolian. But I mean,
I would give anything if I didn't have Arsenal FC tattooed on my fucking calf like a loser to switch over to Liverpool right now. Are you kidding me? It must be God, awesome.
Worst
must be
type awesome. Of fan. Oh, must I be hate
awesome.
That.
Oh, I'm Martin, obviously joking, but
I know.
Mouthful
of beer.
But yeah, dude, I am just, you know, I saw a quote today from Pep Guardiola's book. You know, you can lose the league in the last eight, but you can win the league in the first eight. So hey, Pep, what's up, dude? Putting your own words in your own mouth.
But on the opposite side of that, how many points was Liverpool leading at Christmas last year?
Was it 10? 7? 9? 7?
7? Yeah. It was one of those numbers. Let's go with one of those numbers. And now City has even more time to come back, so let's not count the chickens until they're hatched.
I know. I keep making all these memes on our like social media, and people get all the Liverpool fans are like, stop posting that we've won the league. Don't keep it. I just think it's so funny.
Oh, yeah. Kevin's just jinxing all the instances. Like, Kevin just doesn't have any bad luck because he hopes one thing happens and then bets against another, and the world is like, shit, which one do we follow? So everything cancels out, I think. Kevin's a safe guy.
Yeah, I'm just the Joker, man. Just chaos. Just lots of uncontrolled chaos. But let's wrap this up with the two London teams. Chelsea, again, the youngsters out there crushing it. Mason Mount, Tammy Abraham on the goal sheet again. N'Golo Kanté and Bats on the score sheet as well. Your boy Danny Ings scoring. Chelsea's youth still crushing it. Doesn't seem to be stopping them from scoring a shit ton of goals, which makes me happy. Do you have anything before I'm just briefly going over this before we get to fan questions. I feel like there's not much to add on there. It's just Frank's doing an amazing job with the youth, which we keep saying. Underdog Chelsea.
Pulisic got an assist, a beautiful assist to Bats to seal the deal, 4-1 over Southampton. And, you know, shout out to Pulisic for taking advantage of that starting time. And like you said, the youth leading the way and Bats finishing it off. It's happened in like three games so far this season. Mason Mount, I've said it before, he puts literally his soul into everything he shoots. He falls over after like every single shot. You can't hate that about a kid. And Tammy Abraham, I mean,
beast.
Look, did you see the goal? His first goal. he must have kicked that ball like 90 meters in the air, and it still came down in the goal. He chipped the keeper 90 meters in the air. For gosh darn darn. Fucking, that kid's,
nice one.
That kid's
nice,
got something.
Nice one, dude. Nice one, Tammy. Yeah. Love you. All right, let's move over to Arsenal, which I'm so sad that I'm feeling so shitty and sick because I should have a lot of energy, Martin. As much as I've been, like, shitting on Arsenal, if you would have told me 8 games into the season, we'd be sitting 3rd in the table, 1 point behind Man City, and our only loss this season was to Liverpool, I'd probably suck a few dicks. I don't know. Like, that's pretty crazy. To be at this point, and I honestly, where has my negative energy been coming from? You know, as a
probably
lifetime
from watching the matches.
Probably from watching the matches. Results. No, yeah, maybe just the you know, the torture it is to watch this club just try and get results. But
yeah, I think that's what it is. The results are good. Just getting those results are depressive.
Yeah, this is just, I don't know, like pulling teeth. Like, once the tooth is pulled, you're fine. But to get there, not fucking great. And also,
good Lord, it hurts.
David Luiz scoring, mixed feelings. Like, he giveth and he taketh away. I don't know how I feel about this guy, but when he scored in the 9th minute and we were able to hold a clean sheet against, you know, feisty Bournemouth, I'm going to take it, Martin. 3rd in the table. What? I can't be mad. I am happy with Arsenal Football Club this week. I am not anywhere upset right now. I feel as though, you know, let's just let everyone chill out about Unai. I'm also feeling pretty sick. I've taken some medicine, so let's just say might be a little high right now. Who knows? So right now, I feel good about Arsenal Football Club.
Fucking feel good, dude. I didn't watch this game. I didn't get a chance to watch this game. But I know David Luiz scored, and that's just got to be a roller coaster. Also, your team consistently gets better when Danny Ceballos isn't on the pitch, so... once again, I think that's the best transfer business of the summer for you. And Abba, I mean, I think he's up in, I think he's second place in the top scorers right now. The guy just, you know, he's getting that bread. He's getting that money. He's getting that W's, though. He's getting that win for Arsenal week in and week out. He seems to be y'all's driving point, especially with Laka out and Pepe not doing as much as some expected. So Aubameyang, I think, has truly been one of the two truly, truly, really impressive players behind Ceballos. And Bernd Leno, I like him a lot. I think he's damn good.
Yeah, I think he's damn good. He just hasn't been dealt the best defenders in front of him. So,
which yeah, right.
he's not getting any favors. But all right, Martin, let's move on to some fan questions. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick ad break right now. All right, we're back after that quick ad, and Martin, we got some fan questions. Are you ready?
Neat.
Okay, and thank you to everyone dealing with my sick, dumb bullshit. I swear we love you and we appreciate you making this far, even though I feel like a piece of shit. Okay, first question come from our Twitter, lads_podcast. First question comes from the soccer noob. He says, curry or korma? Oh, I'm a curry guy myself.
Like, I don't know what korma is, so curry for sure.
Like the Indian food korma?
Yeah, I don't know what that is off the top of my head.
Oh, so Martin,
curry is off the top of my head.
Yeah, a red curry, a green curry, a Steph curry. Fuck me up. Next question. Kent Davidson says, will Liverpool remain 8 points clear after match day 9? Well, they do play, Martin, you tell us, they play Manchester United at Trafford next week. After the international
break.
9
or more, or 8 or more, yeah, they'll be fine.
Yep, I'm going to go with they'll be completely fine after what we've been seeing with Manchester United. Next question. Two Rash Challenges podcast says, who's the first manager to get the sack? Ole, Bruce, Silva, or Poch? Ooh.
Silva.
Yeah, it has to be Silva, isn't it? I'd have to say Silva. I feel like Bruce isn't that bad of a shout, but after this big win against Manchester United, that may have bought him some more time. If I were to rank them, I'd probably go Silva, Bruce, Ollie, and then Poch. That'd probably
be
my...
I'd probably do the same, except I'd switch Poch and Ollie. I think Poch will leave on his own accord before Ollie gets fired.
Mm. Yeah, I could actually see that. Yeah, I feel like Posh would be like, fuck it, I'm out. I'm a, what's that SpongeBob? That SpongeBob meme, I'm a head out. That's like what kids are tweeting nowadays. All right, I'm a head out. Pochettino, but replace it with SpongeBob. You guys got it. You know, you millennials. Next question. Swindon Devil CMFC says, next American to crack the Premier League? Who do you think, Martin? Who would be a great person to add to Premier League? Probably the... I mean, Jadon I love...
Jadon Sancho.
American.
Oh.
Like Josh. Oh, Martin.
No one?
McKinney? Josh Sargent? Timothy Weah? I think there's...
Could
like, there's
they play in the Prem?
Maybe not for a top six.
I don't really see any American players coming over here anytime soon. I think they've found their bread and butter in the Bundesliga. America is excelling over there, and more players are going over there. So I think that I don't think we'll see any high price, high interest players from America coming over here.
Well, I mean, even our best one can't even fucking start. So, goddammit. Exactly. Next question comes from Abe Celentano. He says, is there medical marijuana being used by anyone in European soccer? Ooh. Are we about to be whistleblowers, Martin?
David Luiz for sure smokes.
Yeah, we're whistleblowing the shit out of David Luiz right now. We're whistleblowers, Martin. David Luiz.
Oh, shit. Look at us go.
Dude, we're breaking news right now. Who else would be high as shit? Oh, who's that?
I'm just going with big hair, big afros.
What, do you think they just listen to like Rasta music and wear like those weird like tri-colored hats and just like Martin?
Oh yeah, Axel Witsel. Yeah. I'll throw that one in there.
I was thinking, who's that one? Afasu Mensah? Isn't that the guy on your team who always looks super high?
He does look very high, quite a
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, that.
Mason Greenwood looks like he's a teenager trying pot for the first time. To be fair, Erickson looks high as balls. That little fucking called? Whoville?
The Who from Whoville. He just looks like he doesn't know where he's at most times. He might be on like some type of acid to be able to pass like that. And like, I don't know.
He's seeing like different shapes and shit. Mm-hmm. He doesn't even see a ball. He sees an arrow going curvy through some defenders. And that's how he does it. Fucking look at us whistleblow. Christian Eriksen is good because he plays on acid. Report him to FIFA.
Yep, get him out of here. All right, our next questions come from our Instagram. Follow us at Lads Podcast. First question is from G Machine, your dumbass brother, Martin. Will you please have a Kepa discussion? Yeah, he's good.
Yes.
All right.
No, he's not. No. He is not good. I was not aware of this because I do not watch a lot of football with Chelsea fans, to be honest. That's not a hate on Chelsea. I just don't have a lot of Chelsea fans in my life other than my brother and Chris Davis. Not a lot of Chelsea fans, but I've watched every single goal that's been scored on Chelsea, and at least half of them could have been saved. I mean, for
not a lot of clean sheets.
Not a lot of clean sheets and a whole lot of short man energy coming from Kepa. He's pretty trash, dude. Gabe's been saying play Caballero, and I got to get behind it. He's short. He should have saved at least four of the goals that have been scored on him easily. I gotta say, Gabe has twisted my mind into believing this conspiracy theory that he is shit, and it actually has legs. This story's true.
There is some legs to this. All right, next question comes from Brock, BRXXCK. He says, does United need to bring back a tall number nine and a left back just to serve crosses all day? Probably.
We have them. That's the problem.
They're just not good.
Aaron Wan-Bissaka and Luke Shaw, when they are playing, they serve crosses. We're just playing with Diogo Dalot and Ashley Young and have been since the third week. And a tall number nine, I mean, shit. If we wanted a tall number nine, we would have kept around Lukaku. It just doesn't seem to be what this Manchester United squad wants right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel as though... It might be what you need, Martin.
What?
A big, what's it called? A big number nine.
We tried it last year.
I think Lukaku. I think you need to bring back Lukaku.
We also tried with Zlatan. The tall factor is obviously not the the solution to the many problems at Manchester United. However,
are you sure?
However,
have you tried it?
We have. We're the new Arsenal, man.
Fuck.
Fuck off, right, go Gunners. I mean.
Next question. Dippy the ass eating bear says, will Martin commit Sudoku with me and other United fans? Wait, isn't it? Oh, it's a meme. It's seppuku. That's when you kill yourself. I'm reading the chat now.
Heady keddy. Heady keddy.
So yeah, Martin, will you play that crossword game with numbers if United gets relegated?
No, I'll actually commit Harry Carey though.
Okay.
If anybody's down to do that.
Isn't that the guy who did the Cubs games? What's that guy's name?
I could not tell you, man. Old baseball is not up in this brain. I know Harry Carey and seppuku mean the same thing.
Oh, I'm thinking of, I don't know. Anyway, Corey Andres 27 says, which big six teams do you see finishing outside the top six? Which teams could take their place?
United.
Well, yeah, I didn't want to say it off the bat. But yes, I'm going to say probably United and probably Leicester would take their place.
I'm going to say probably United. I think everybody can probably agree on that.
Hot take. Probably United.
I'm just going to leave a little bit of guesswork in there with probably. Who the fuck knows? Maybe next week is just a complete turning point and they've all gone to intervention and they've had their families talk to them and now they're Manchester United players. Who knows? But probably Manchester United.
If I had to put money on it, United.
Right. If I'm a betting man, which I am a betting man, I'd put money on United. And to be honest, the team that I think would crack the top six, it's got to be West Ham or Leicester. I really think West Ham are playing disgusting this season. I think that their reinforcements over the summer have really improved them. El Ghazi.
For once.
Lanzini's playing and playing really well. And, I mean, you've got Antonio coming in from injury. You've got a real strong back line. Fab Jansky is one of my favorite keepers in the Prem, and so I could definitely see West Ham cracking in. I've already lauded Leicester. Everybody knows I love Leicester, so those two teams are the teams for me to crack it, even though right now it's Leicester and Crystal Palace who have also been playing super well. Kind of dig Manchester United and Tottenham being out of the top six, not gonna lie, some new faces.
Yeah, it's good to see some fresh blood. Last blood, like Rambo. All right, guys, that's...
I heard that was shit.
Yeah, I heard that was shit, but the Joker's good. Everyone go see the Joker. That was easily my favorite movie of the year. Fucking kicked... Joaquin Phoenix is literally the best actor of this generation. If Bastian Schweinsteiger is the best German, Joaquin Phoenix is the weird, awkward loner of our generation. All right, guys.
Inside Llewyn Davis. Fucking start there.
Well, that's... He's not in that movie that you're thinking of.
Is he?
No, that's not him. That's Isaac. Isaac. What?
Oh, yeah.
Oscar Isaac.
Isaac. Yeah. And, they look similar.
Fuck all right. It. If you want to.
Fucking watch the movie anyway.
Yeah. Go see Joker. Also, go see You Will Never Really There. That's a really great Joaquin Phoenix movie. Or The Master. Or, I don't know. Go back and watch fucking Gladiator and quote it with Ralphie from The Sopranos. Anyway, that's our show, guys. We love you. And make sure to follow us on everything. Leave reviews. And have a great week. We'll see you Friday. Bye. Sometimes I feel like I'm just talking to my Far away, you got me standing.